この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはカルチャーエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to A Culture's episode on Japan Top
10. Hi everyone, welcome back to Japan Top 10. I'm Vicky.
And I'm Shauna.
And today, I guess we all have to buckle up our seatbelts because we have an exciting cultures episode today.
Exactly. I'm very excited for this episode. I'm honored to be on this episode because today we're going to be talking about Indian influences on Japanese culture. And I think Vicky and I are the least qualified yet the most qualified people to add our two cents to this, to this conversation. So, Vicky.
Yes, Shauna?
Why are we qualified? List out our credentials, please.
So, I would say for you, you're in India.
Yes, I'm an Indian.
And I'm in Japan, but I have chai from India next to me.
Yes. Okay. Now, so we started this episode and Vicky tells me she has chai next to me. And it was very on brand for this episode. But in true Indian fashion, she's saying it's a rainy day and she has a cup of chai, which just sounds perfect. You need to have what we call bhaji or pakora with you. It's like batter fried onions. Think of an onion ring, but like the batter isn't the batter that you're thinking of. It's slightly more crispy and it's very loose and the onions are cut into really thin slices, so it's crispy and nice, a little oily, and you bite into it and it's comfort food. I think any Indian who's listening will know a cup of chai and bhaji or pakora on a rainy day is the best combination.
Okay, I think I'm going to India after this episode.
I'm waiting for you.
But in the meantime, although we have some exciting music, don't we have some announcements, Shauna?
We do indeed. So just quickly getting through some of our announcements, do you want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that'll fit your company's budget. So find all the details at jtop10.jp to find an advertising plan that suits your company's needs.
Also, we are currently looking for various staff members to volunteer and join our podcast. If you are interested in audio editing, hosting, or content production, please have a look on our website at jtop10.jp/join for the full details on how to apply. If you love Japanese music culture and want to join Shauna and I, then this will really be a great opportunity for you.
Absolutely. We're always looking for more people to come and join us in our little yap sessions. That being said, we are also out here looking for cool new music. So if you're an indie Japanese music artist, fear not, we have a space for you. If you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at HaileyG, that's HaileyG, at jtop10.jp, along with a song you'd like us to feature on the podcast. And we will probably be yapping about you very soon.
Yes, and if you would like to hear all of your music and all of our yaps, if you are enjoying this cultures episode, remember, you can receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor, just starting at a dollar. Plus, you'll receive this episode without any announcements or interruptions, just commentary and music. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
And that being said, I think we should just jump right into it. So right off the bat, Vicky, as someone on the ground, as our field reporter for the day, do you see Indian influences in Japan currently, like in your daily life? Do you see any, or are there any major noticeable points?
I would say pretty regularly.
Oh.
So Indian culture is actually in my area very prevalent, and we have a temple that everyone goes to pray to a Buddhist god of intellect and wisdom.
That's actually so cool.
Yeah, so, but question for you, Shauna, do you have Japanese influences in India?
So it comes and goes. We have a really strong Japanese communities, at least in the place that I live, which is South India.
Mm-hmm.
We do see lots of communities or, like, you know, Japanese expats who come in for work. But other than that, I have to say it's not majorly seen. But you know what? As the years have gone by, and as someone who's always kept an eye out for Japanese culture because it's something I love, I'm really glad to be seeing the shift to more appreciation for Japanese culture and music and art. And because I've, like, you know, I've studied and worked and researched a lot about this space as well in the past years, you do see a lot of similarities between the two cultures, right?
Mm.
So it's really great to kind of see that. But let's kind of jump into why. And I think one of the clear parallels drawn, like you were saying, Vicky, is our spiritual and religious kind of parallels and crossroads, because Buddhist culture and Hindu culture have a lot of similarities.
Mm.
So right off the bat, Indian Buddhism, which, you know, was started by Buddha, who was from India, you know, reached Japan via Korea and China around the 6th century BCE.
The introduction of Buddhism carried not just doctrine, but Indian art motifs, iconography, and ritual forms that got localized.
So there's actually a really famous monk who became very popular in Japan, the monk Bodhisena, who was born in South India, roughly around 704 CE, and he was invited to Japan to help establish the Kegon, or the Huayun school. And there, he kind of was famous for performing this eye-opening ritual for the great Buddha at the Tojaiji in Nara in about 752 CE.
Sanskrit and Indian cosmological ideas influenced Japanese aristocratic Buddhism, or Shingon and Tendai.
So, I mean, like you were talking about, Vicky, along with, I think, the very clear mutual influence of Buddhism on India and Japan, we actually see a lot of parallels with Hindu deities in Japan, right?
Mm.
So many Hindu gods are worshipped or represented in Japanese Buddhist / Shinto, you know, syncretic traditions. So, you know, you have the Saraswati shrines, Lakshmi, Ganesha, Indra, who are all Hindu gods, right? And so you see a lot of parallels with them. Like, for example, Benzaiten in Japan is actually a parallel for them in Hindu culture is Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge and music.
Also, I think if we talk about, like, the different goddesses of, like, knowledge and music, talking about localization, even if the name has been changed a little bit for Indian audiences, it's still the same god, roughly, but just changed a little different.
Yeah, yeah. So you have, like I said, Benzaiten, you have Bishamonten, you have Taishakuten, and all of these gods do have, you know, a parallel name in Hinduism. So you have, like, Vaishravana or Kubera, who is the god of wealth and war. It's like one of the seven lucky gods. And Taishakuten is actually Indra in, you know, the Buddhist pantheon of gods.
And fun fact, there are reportedly hundreds of shrines dedicated to Benzaiten or Saraswati in Japan.
Have you seen any of these temples? Are temples that are common in, say, the area you've lived in? Or have you seen any on, you know, whenever you're passing through areas?
Yes, especially in the Kansai region, aside from Nara, there's a lot, as well as in Kyoto. And I'll just give a quick little shout out to Kobe as well. I'd say Kobe's the best temple city in the Kansai area, but that's my unhumble opinion.
No, that's very cool. I mean, it's really great to see these cross-cultural motifs existing or throughout history, right? And we also do have some similarities with our philosophical ideas and rituals, right? So, for example, the practice of cremation and ancestor offerings in Japan has parallels to, you know, the Indian ritual forms, where cremation is also a big part of, I think, the ceremony for the Hindu death traditional ceremony. And, you know, some scholars argue these practices in Japan may have been influenced by older Indian traditions, but it's been very debated over the years.
Exactly. And even trying to find the dates out for many of these temples, there are estimates, especially in the Kansai area. Some temples have estimates to well over 1,000 years ago. So about that, it's not a new fad. But furthermore, Jainism today has a small presence in Japan, such as temples in Kobe, as well as the greater Kansai area, and largely among those who have adopted Indian traditions in modern times.
So actually, a little fun fact, just kind of wrapping up, you know, the conversations majorly centered around religion, where I think Buddhism holds its predominance because of its cultural prevalence in both countries. There are actually 3 temples in Japan with statues dedicated to Monju Bosatsu, who is the Buddhist god of wisdom and intellect and is actually supposed to be a direct disciple of Buddha, right?
Mm.
So he's like a key figure in the Buddhist tradition.
Mm. And fun fact, I did go to one of these temples dedicated to this specific god.
Aww.
Just to pray before my final exams. And I go to this one temple for Monju Bosatsu for my students specifically. So 45 minutes away. And it's, I think, around 1,000 years old. And there's a little temple also, I forget the name of it, but it's a very like small Buddhist shrine, not Shinto shrine, near a waterfall.
Aww. That honestly sounds amazing. And just like a little bit of history to like Monju Bosatsu, or like, you know, Manjushri Bodhisattva, is that, you know, the character itself is like holds in his left hand a sutra, which is how he's supposed to be dispensing wisdom to people. And in his right hand, he holds a sword, which is supposed to cut off delusion.
Ooh.
So I can understand where, you know, going there to pray for like, you know, good luck and intellect, especially with exams and stuff like that, is a really big thing.
Mm. Plus, it's the best way that doesn't involve like other religions, like sacrificing or anything. This is peaceful. Peaceful here.
Yeah.
Praying peaceful. Yes.
And that being said, I think we can kind of jump into our first song. Vicky, what do you think?
Yes, I think we can.
We have Gandhara by...
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Daigo.
Thank you.
So you just listened to Gandhara by Godaigo. Now, Godaigo is a Japanese rock band formed in the 1970s, known for their fusion of Western rock and Eastern musical elements.
So Gandhara was released in 1978 as part of their album Magic Monkey. The song was used as the ending theme for the Japanese television drama Monkey, known internationally as Monkey Magic.
Gandhara refers to an ancient region in the Indian subcontinent, renowned for its Buddhist heritage. The lyrics describe a utopian land where dreams are realized, drawing inspiration from Indian spiritual concepts.
This song, I think, it's one of those beautiful, like, kind of nice to listen to songs, and also really nice to see. I think this wasn't a song on my radar earlier before I started researching for this episode. And I'm really glad it's on here because it's, I think, one of a really interesting way in which you draw inspiration from religion in music that's not specifically religious, right?
Even their album cover I thought was interesting, or maybe it was a single cover. I was like, they're genuinely like taking Indian influence rather than, you know, scrubbing it, you know?
I know. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Thank you for the representation.
Hey.
And I think with that, we have come to the end of this episode. And, you know, if you're an Indian going to visit Japan, or you're someone from Japan who's just exploring and learning a bit more about India, we're glad you joined us on this journey. And, you know, maybe the next time you visit a Japanese temple or see a lotus motif, or hear the chant of Om in a temple festival, just remember that those symbols may have roots tracing all the way from the Ganges to the land of the rising sun. So, you know, it goes deep, it goes strong, the parallels are beautiful to see. And this was such a fun episode. I'm so glad I was able to do this episode with you, Vicky.
Likewise, Shauna, because this has gone like full circle. And for our listeners who are going, I want to learn more, I want to learn more. Well, a week from now, you'll get to learn all about our lead audio editor, Fred. His All About Me episode will be released next week. But in the meantime, please have some Indian curry and desserts and have chai with onions on the side.
Pakora.
Yeah, pakora on the side. Yes. The
yes,
more we
yes.
learn, the best of both worlds.
The more we learn. Absolutely, absolutely. And I guess with that, we are done with this episode. I truly cannot emphasize enough how much I appreciate being able to talk about this and being able to share my love for my culture and its people, and to also be able to see its influence and to see another country's influence on my own is beautiful. Vicky, you were amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, but you are the expert, especially showing how your culture has influenced the entire world and has now made me hungry. So, wow.
So with that, we will wrap up the episode so that Vicky can go get some pakora.
And likewise for you too.
So then we will see you later. Bye.
See you later. Mata ne. Japan Top 10.
Hey there, music lovers. Did you know that getting licensed to share music online is not just the right thing to do? It's also super important for supporting creators and the music industry. That's why we're proud to be licensed by SOCAN, a copyright collective that grants licenses for online music broadcasts in Canada. By getting licensed through SOCAN, you ensure that every beat, every note, and every melody that you play is compliant and fair to the creators. Join us in supporting the music community. Visit SOCAN's website at www.socan.com and get your web radio, podcast, or any other use of online music licensed today. Let's stream beautiful music together, legally and ethically. SOCAN. Music. People. Connected.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.